Imagine 12 ordinary men in the eyes of society, sun-baked fishermen, tax collectors despised by society, simple laborers with calloused hands who became the closest followers of Jesus Christ. They walked alongside him on dusty roads. They heard his words echo across the hills of Galilee. They witnessed miracles that defied human comprehension. They saw their teacher calm storms with a simple command, multiply loaves and fish to feed hungry multitudes, and even raise the dead. But did you know that the fates of these 12 apostles are just as extraordinary as their lives alongside Jesus? From brutal martyrdoms that defy imagination to mysterious disappearances that have intrigued historians for centuries, the stories of the apostles' end are a powerful testament to unwavering faith and superhuman courage. Before delving into the individual stories of the apostles, it is crucial to understand the monumental weight of the mission they were given. Picture the scene. Jesus, risen from the dead, gathers his disciples on a mountaintop in Galilee. The air is thick with anticipation. The disciples, still reeling from the events of the past few weeks, the crucifixion, the resurrection, can hardly believe their eyes as they behold their living, radiant master standing before them. It is at this pivotal moment that Jesus gives them an assignment that will change the course of history. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always, to the very end of the age. Matthew 28 hours 19 minutes and 20 seconds. They would face relentless persecution, unimaginable suffering, and for many, brutal martyrdom. All in the name of spreading a message that challenged the cultural, religious, and political norms of their day. The Great Commission was more than a mission, it was a death sentence. But for the apostles, it was a calling they could not ignore, a truth for which they were willing to sacrifice everything. The first apostle, whose extraordinary destiny we will explore, is Simon Peter, the impetuous fisherman who became the rock upon which Jesus declared he would build his church, Matthew chapter 16 verse 18. Some theologians suggest that the rock can be understood as Jesus himself, the true foundation of the church, with Peter and the other apostles playing important roles. Peter, known for his fervent loyalty but also for his momentary denial of Christ, had a post-resurrection life filled with dramatic events that would rival any Hollywood epic. Imagine Peter, the man who once denied knowing Jesus, now boldly preaching on the streets of Jerusalem, defying the very authorities who had crucified his teacher. Acts 2 tells us how he, filled with the Holy Spirit, delivered a sermon so powerful that 3,000 people were converted in a single day. Peter performed astonishing miracles such as healing a man who had been lame from birth, Acts 3, and even raising a woman named Tabitha from the dead, Acts 9. But Peter's end is as extraordinary as his life. According to tradition preserved by ancient writers such as Tertullian and Origen, Peter was martyred in Rome during the reign of Emperor Nero around AD 64 or 67. But there is a striking detail in this story that defies imagination. It is said that Peter, considering himself unworthy to die in the same manner as his master, asked to be crucified upside down. Picture the scene. The apostle, now an elderly man, but with the fire of faith still burning in his eyes, facing his executioners with a dignity and courage that left even the Roman soldiers bewildered. His final request was not for mercy, but for even greater suffering, all for the love of Christ. Peter's upside-down crucifixion is not just a morbid detail of early church history. It is a powerful testimony to the radical transformation that took place in this man's life. Remember who Peter was, a rustic fisherman from Galilee, known for his impulsiveness and sometimes cowardice. This is the same man who, in a moment of weakness, denied knowing Jesus 3 times on the night of the crucifixion. Now, decades later, we are faced with a completely transformed Peter. What changed? The answer lies in the power of the gospel and in the reality of Christ's resurrection. Peter was not dying for an idea or a philosophy. He was giving his life for someone he had seen die and then rise again. Peter's upside-down crucifixion is a powerful symbol of his humility and total devotion to Christ. In asking for this form of execution, Peter was essentially saying, "I am not worthy even to die in the same way as my Lord." This final act of humility and devotion perfectly illustrates Peter's transformation from an impulsive fisherman to a spiritual leader willing to give his life for the faith in the most painful way possible. The contrast between his earlier denial of Jesus and his ultimate martyrdom is a powerful testimony to the redemptive and transformative power of the gospel. Peter's story challenges us to consider how far we are willing to go in our faith. What kind of transformation can the gospel bring about in our lives if, like Peter, we surrender ourselves completely to it? Let us now turn to John, the beloved disciple, known for his special closeness to Jesus. John is a unique and intriguing figure among the apostles, for he is believed to be the only one who did not suffer a violent death. While his fellow apostles faced martyrdom in distant lands, John lived to a ripe old age, possibly until the end of the first century. Picture John, the young fisherman who once rested his head on Jesus' chest during the Last Supper, now a venerable old man, his eyes still shining with the memory of those miraculous days with the Master. Throughout his long life, John was not idle. He wrote not only the gospel that bears his name, but also 3 epistles and the book of Revelation, an apocalyptic vision that continues to intrigue and inspire readers to this day. Tradition tells us that John spent his final years in Ephesus, a major center of early Christianity. There he would have been a beacon of wisdom and guidance to the nascent church, combating heresies and deepening Christ's followers' understanding of the meaning of the gospel. What makes John's fate so intriguing is the stark contrast between his longevity and the martyrdom of his fellow apostles. His long life allowed him to profoundly influence the early church through his writings and leadership in a way that perhaps would not have been possible had he faced early martyrdom. Imagine John in his final years dictating the words of Revelation to a bewildered scribe on the rocky island of Patmos, the elderly apostle exiled for the sake of God's word and the witness of Jesus. Revelation chapter 1 verse 9 features visions so vivid and powerful that they still capture our imagination today. His eyes, though dimmed by age, see beyond the veil of time, beholding the throne of God and the ultimate destiny of creation. This exile on Patmos was no peaceful retreat but a severe trial. Conditions on the island were harsh, labor was arduous, and John, now an elderly man, certainly suffered greatly. Yet it was in this hostile environment that he produced one of the most influential works of Christian literature. Revelation, with its visions of judgment and hope, has shaped Christian theology and imagination for 2 millennia. Thus, while John did not face the sword or the cross like his fellow apostles, he certainly faced persecution and suffering for his faith. His longevity serves as a powerful reminder that God has unique plans for each of his servants. Some, like Peter and Paul, are called to swift and fiery witness that ends in martyrdom. Others, like John, are called to long lives of faithful service. Facing different but no less significant trials, John's story challenges us to consider how we can bear witness to our faith, not just in moments of crisis, but throughout our lives. Now let's turn our attention to James, brother of John and son of Zebedee. James has the grim distinction of being the first of the 12 apostles to suffer martyrdom, as recorded in Acts 12. He had James, John's brother, put to death by the sword. This event occurred around 44 AD, during the reign of Herod Agrippa I, grandson of Herod the Great. Picture the scene. Jerusalem is in turmoil. The young Christian church is growing rapidly, challenging the religious and political status quo. Herod Agrippa, first anxious to please the Jewish elite and consolidate his power, decides to attack the leaders of this new sect. James, known for his courage and zeal, becomes the primary target. Perhaps it was his bold preaching that attracted the attention of the authorities, or perhaps it was simply his prominence as one of the sons of thunder, as Jesus once called him and his brother John. Regardless of the motive, James is arrested and promptly sentenced to death. The execution is swift and brutal. The executioner's sword falls and the first of Christ's apostles spills his blood in the streets of Jerusalem. The brevity of the biblical account of his death stands in stark contrast to the impact it must have had on the nascent Christian community. Imagine the shock and fear that must have run through the ranks of Jesus' followers. James's death marks a crucial turning point in the history of the early church. It signals the beginning of an era of more intense and systematic persecution against the followers of Christ. The fact that a member of Jesus' inner circle was executed so early in the history of the church must have sent shockwaves through the Christian community. Yet rather than silencing the movement, James's death seems to have strengthened the resolve of the believers. Think of the courage required to continue preaching and living the Christian faith, knowing that the same fate could await you. Early church tradition preserved by Clement of Alexandria gives us powerful insight into the impact of James's martyrdom. He relates that the guard who brought James to the tribunal was so impressed with the apostle's faith that he declared himself a Christian and was executed along with him. If this story is true, it vividly illustrates how courageous witness in the face of death can be a powerful catalyst for conversion. James's death prompts us to reflect on the power of martyrdom as a witness. How a willingness to die for a belief can paradoxically give it added strength and credibility. This challenges us to consider what we are willing to sacrifice for our convictions. How would you react if our faith cost us everything? The next apostle on our journey is Andrew, brother of Peter and also a fisherman from Galilee. Andrew has the distinction of being the first disciple called by Jesus, as recorded in the Gospel of John. Picture the scene. Andrew, a young fisherman, possibly dissatisfied with his life and longing for something more, hears about a new prophet preaching on the banks of the Jordan River. Intrigued, he goes to hear John the Baptist and is so impressed that he becomes his follower. Then one day, John points out a man passing by and declares, "Behold, the Lamb of God." John chapter 1 verse 36. Without hesitation, Andrew follows Jesus and spends the day with him. Convinced that he has found the Messiah, Andrew runs to share the news with his brother Simon Peter. This act of bringing his brother to Jesus defines Andrew's ministry. He becomes known as the apostle who consistently brings people to Christ. After Jesus' ascension, tradition suggests that Andrew preached the gospel in the Black Sea region of present-day Turkey and possibly as far as Greece and Scythia, present-day Ukraine. His martyrdom is particularly notable because of the manner of his crucifixion. According to tradition preserved in the apocryphal document, the Acts of Andrew, dating from the 2nd or 3rd century, Andrew was condemned to death in the city of Patras in Greece. He was tied, not nailed, to an X-shaped cross, which later became known as the Cross of Saint Andrew. Andrew, seeing the cross from afar, is said to have exclaimed, "Hail, O long-desired cross, now prepared for me. I come to you with confidence and joy. Separate me from men and restore me to my master." Why were these early Christians so willing to face horrible deaths for their faith? The answer may lie in Jesus' own words. "For whoever wants to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will find it." Matthew chapter 16 verse 25. Andrew's willingness to embrace a painful death for his faith demonstrates a profound understanding of this paradoxical truth. Imagine Andrew tied to the cross, possibly for days, suffering a slow, agonizing death. Yet tradition tells us that he continued to preach to all who gathered to watch, transforming his own suffering into a final, powerful gospel message. This final act of witness is a striking example of how early Christians viewed martyrdom not as a defeat but as an opportunity to glorify Christ. The cross in the shape of a cross, the X on which Andrew was crucified, became a powerful symbol in Christian iconography, appearing on coats of arms, flags such as that of Scotland, of which Andrew is the patron saint, and in religious art. So even centuries after his death, Andrew's witness continues to inspire and challenge Christians. His story invites us to reflect. Are we willing to embrace suffering for our faith? How can we transform our own trials into opportunities for witness? Let's turn now to Philip, another of Jesus' early disciples. Philip, a native of Bethsaida, the same town as Andrew and Peter, is mentioned several times in the Gospels, often in situations that reveal his practical and inquisitive nature. Recall the episode of the feeding of the 5,000, where Jesus asks Philip where they could buy bread to feed the crowd. Philip's response: 200 denarii worth of bread would not be enough for each person to receive a piece. John chapter 67 reveals his practical mind focused on logistical realities. Or think of the time when some Greeks were praying for the 5,000. They seek out Philip, longing to see Jesus. John chapter 12 verse 22. Philip, whose Greek name suggests possible connections to the Hellenistic community, serves as a bridge between these foreigners and Jesus. These episodes paint a portrait of a pragmatic yet open-minded man, capable of connecting people to Jesus. After Christ's ascension, tradition suggests that Philip preached extensively in Phrygia, in present-day Turkey, and possibly even in Greece. Picture Philip, a Jew from Galilee, navigating the cultural complexities of the Roman world, using his down-to-earth and approachable nature to communicate the revolutionary message of the gospel to people from backgrounds radically different from his own. The account of his martyrdom is less detailed than that of some other apostles, but it is believed that he was crucified in Hierapolis. Some traditions suggest that he was crucified upside down like Peter, while others speak of stoning. Regardless of the specific details, what is clear is that Philip, like his fellow apostles, was willing to give his life for the faith he professed. What makes Philip's story particularly intriguing are the stories of their encounters with people from different cultural and religious backgrounds. The episode in Acts 8 hours 26 minutes and 40 seconds, where Philip encounters and baptizes the Ethiopian eunuch, is a powerful example of this. This encounter not only demonstrates Philip's ability to explain scripture clearly and compellingly, but it also illustrates the inclusive and cross-cultural nature of the gospel from its earliest days. Imagine Philip, raised in traditional Jewish culture, now traveling to foreign lands, encountering unfamiliar customs and strange languages, all in order to share the message of Christ. The fact that he was martyred in a foreign land underscores the apostles' commitment to taking the message of Christ to the ends of the earth. Acts 18:8. Even if it meant risking their own lives. Philip's story challenges us to consider how far we are willing to go to share our faith with those who are different from us. In an increasingly globalized, yet also increasingly divided world, Philip's example of crossing cultural boundaries for the sake of the gospel is all the more relevant than ever before. Think about the barriers that exist in our own society, barriers of race, class, education, politics. How can we, like Philip, be bridges connecting people to Jesus regardless of their backgrounds? Philip's willingness to die in a foreign land also raises profound questions about the cost of discipleship. How many of us would be willing to leave the comfort of our home and culture to take the gospel to unfamiliar places? Philip's story reminds us that the call to follow Christ is a call to step outside our comfort zone, to venture into unfamiliar territories, whether geographical, cultural, or spiritual. His martyrdom in Hierapolis is a powerful testimony that no price is too high when it comes to sharing the love of Christ with the world. Bartholomew, also known as Nathanael in some accounts, is another apostle whose ultimate fate is shrouded in mystery and tradition. Bartholomew is mentioned in the lists of apostles in the Synoptic Gospels, while the Gospel of John refers to Nathanael. Many scholars believe these are two names for the same person. Recall Nathanael's encounter with Jesus recorded in John chapter 14 verse 351. When Philip tells him that they have found the Messiah Jesus of Nazareth, Nathanael responds skeptically, "Something good can come out of Nazareth." This response reveals a man who is forthright, perhaps a bit cynical, but also honest in his doubts. What follows is one of the most intriguing encounters in the Gospels. Jesus sees Nathanael and declares, "Here truly is an Israelite in whom there is no falsehood." Surprised, Nathanael asks how Jesus knows him, to which Jesus replies that he saw him under the fig tree before Philip called him. This seemingly simple statement has a profound impact on Nathanael, who immediately confesses, "Rabbi, you are the Son of God, you are the King of Israel." What was it about this encounter that transformed Nathanael from a skeptic to a fervent believer? Many scholars suggest that under the fig tree was a language for studying and meditating on the scriptures. Could it be that Jesus, with his supernatural knowledge, saw Nathanael's sincere heart seeking the truth? Whatever the exact meaning, this encounter marks the beginning of Nathanael's journey as a follower of Christ. After Jesus' ascension, Bartholomew is believed to have preached the gospel in places as diverse as India, Ethiopia, Mesopotamia, and Armenia. Armenian tradition in particular has a strong connection with Bartholomew, considering him one of its patron saints. According to some traditions, Bartholomew suffered one of the most brutal martyrdoms among the apostles. He is believed to have been captured in Armenia on the orders of King Astyages. There he was sentenced to a horrible death. He was first flayed alive and then crucified upside down. Some accounts add that he was beheaded after the crucifixion. The brutality of this alleged martyrdom is shocking to our modern sensibilities. However, to understand its significance for early Christians, we need to place ourselves in the context of their time. In the Roman world, torture and public execution were common practices, often used as a form of intimidation and social control. For followers of Christ, facing such horrors with courage and faith was not only a personal testimony, but a participation in the suffering of Christ. A willingness to endure such torment was seen as powerful evidence of the truth of their faith and the reality of the resurrection they proclaimed. While the details of Bartholomew's martyrdom are difficult to verify historically, the persistence of this tradition speaks to the lasting impact Bartholomew had on the early church. His story reminds us that we often know very little about those who had a significant impact on the spread of the gospel. However, the lack of historical detail does not diminish the importance of his testimony. Indeed, it could be argued that Bartholomew's relative obscurity in the biblical narrative combined with the traditions of his brutal martyrdom serve as a powerful reminder of that every follower of Christ, no matter how unknown, can have a profound impact on the kingdom of God. His story challenges us to consider the value of faithful service, even when we receive no recognition or acclaim. Matthew, the tax collector who became an apostle, is a fascinating figure in the gospel narrative. Known as Levi in Mark and Luke, Matthew is most famous for his gospel emphasizing the fulfillment of Old Testament prophecy in Jesus. Imagine the scene of Matthew's calling recorded in Matthew chapter 9 verse 9. Jesus passes by the tax office and simply says, "Follow me." Quote. Remarkably, Matthew drops everything and follows him. To fully appreciate the magnitude of this moment, we need to understand the social context of the time. Tax collectors were despised in Jewish society, seen as collaborators with the Roman oppressor and frequently accused of extortion. In calling Matthew, Jesus was directly challenging the social and religious norms of his time. Matthew's immediate response to Jesus' call speaks of a deep dissatisfaction with his former life and a longing for something more meaningful. After Christ's ascension, Matthew is thought to have preached for many years in Judea before setting out on missions to distant lands. Some traditions suggest that he preached in Ethiopia, while others mention Persia and Parthia. The account of Eusebius, the father of church history, suggests that Matthew spent his early post-ascension years preaching to the Jewish community and that his gospel was originally written in Hebrew or Aramaic for this audience. Traditions about Matthew's death vary considerably. Some suggest that he was martyred in Ethiopia, possibly in the city of Jerusalem, by the sword, while others claim he died of natural causes. The uncertainty surrounding Matthew's ending reminds us that not all details of the apostles' lives have been preserved with equal clarity. What is undeniable, however, is the lasting impact of their gospel, which continues to shape Christian understanding of the life and ministry of Jesus to this day. What makes Matthew's story particularly fascinating is his transformation from tax collector, a despised profession in Jewish society, to apostle and gospel author. Picture Matthew sitting at his tax table, likely accustomed to being shunned and scorned by his countrymen. Then, in a moment that would change his life forever, Jesus calls him. Not only that, but Jesus then goes to Matthew's house for a meal surrounded by other sinners and tax collectors. This act by Jesus causes scandal among the Pharisees who ask the disciples, "Why does your teacher eat with tax collectors and sinners?" Matthew chapter 9 verse 11. Jesus' response is telling. "It is not the healthy who need not the physician, but the sick, for I have not come to call the righteous, but sinners." Matthew chapter 9 verse 12, 1. This episode not only illustrates the radical and inclusive nature of Jesus' ministry, but it also sets the tone for Matthew's future ministry. Once considered an outcast, he now becomes God's instrument for reaching the marginalized and despised. Matthew's life is a powerful testimony to Christ's ability to redeem and transform lives, regardless of a person's past. The fact that he wrote his gospel with a particular focus on a Jewish audience shows how God can use our past experiences, even those we consider shameful, for his glory. Matthew's Gospel, with its emphasis on the fulfillment of Old Testament prophecy, serves as a crucial bridge between Judaism and nascent Christianity. His familiarity with the Jewish scriptures, combined with his first-hand experience of Jesus' ministry, made him uniquely qualified for this task. The uncertainty about Matthew's ending reminds us of the impact of a life is not measured solely by how it ends, but by the legacy it leaves behind. Whether Matthew died a martyr in Ethiopia or of natural causes after years of faithful ministry, his gospel continues to touch lives and transform hearts 2 millennia later. Thomas, often remembered as the doubter because of his initial reluctance to believe in Jesus' resurrection, has a fascinating post-resurrection story that is often overlooked. Recall the famous scene. The other disciples tell Thomas that they have seen the risen Lord, but he responds, "Unless I see in his hands the mark of the nails, and put my finger where the nails were, and put my hand into his side, I will not believe." John chapter 20 verse 25. A week later, Jesus appears again, this time with Thomas present. He invites him to touch his wounds, to which Thomas responds with one of the most powerful confessions in the Gospels. "My Lord and my God," John chapter 20 verse 28. This episode reveals much about Thomas's character. He was not a skeptic by nature, but a man who needed concrete evidence. His doubt was not due to lack of faith, but to an intense desire for certainty. And when confronted with the evidence, his response was immediate and total. According to tradition, Thomas traveled further than any other apostle in preaching the gospel in India. Imagine Thomas, a Jewish fisherman from Galilee, sailing across the Indian Ocean, facing storms, pirates, and the unknown, all to bring the message of Christ to a land so distant and different from anything he had ever known. Indian tradition, particularly strong in the state of Kerala, claims that Thomas reached the Malabar coast in the year 52 AD. He is said to have founded 7 churches and converted high-caste Brahmin families as well as others. The Malabar Syrian Church or St. Thomas Christians trace their lineage directly to Thomas's apostleship. Thomas is believed to have been martyred at Milapur, near modern Chennai. According to tradition, he was pierced with spears while praying. The site of his supposed martyrdom, known as St. Thomas's Mount, and his tomb in St. Thomas's Basilica in Chennai, are sites of pilgrimage to this day. James, son of Alphaeus, sometimes called James the Lesser to distinguish him from James, son of Zebedee, is one of the apostles about whom we have the least information in the biblical accounts. This relative obscurity in the Gospels and Acts does not diminish his importance in God's plan, but rather invites us to reflect on the role of secondary characters in the narrative of faith. Some traditions identify him with James the brother of the Lord, although this is disputed by many scholars. Confusion arises. In part because of the mention in Mark 10:40 of James the less as the son of Mary, who some interpret as the mother of Jesus. However, it is more likely that this is a different James, since the Gospels clearly indicate that Jesus' brothers did not believe in him during his earthly ministry. John chapter 7 verse 5. What we do know for sure is that James, son of Alphaeus, was chosen by Jesus as one of the 12, a select group who received personal training from the Master and were commissioned to continue his work after the ascension. Imagine James, possibly a quiet and thoughtful man, intently watching Jesus' every move and word, absorbing his teachings and being transformed by his presence. After Christ's ascension, James is believed to have preached in Syria and Persia. Some traditions suggest that he worked in partnership with Simon the Zealot, taking the gospel to places where Jesus' name was not yet known. James's journey from Galilee to Persia would have been fraught with challenges and dangers. Imagine James sailing the seas. treacherous Mediterranean seas, traversing scorching deserts, facing bandits on the roads, and hostility in the cities, all in order to share the message of Christ with those who had never heard of him. Traditions about James's martyrdom vary, but many suggest he was crucified at Ostracine in Lower Egypt. Other versions speak of his martyrdom in Persia, where he was stoned and then beaten to death with a fuller's rod, a tool used in cleaning cloth. Regardless of the specific details, the common theme is that James, like his fellow apostles, faced death courageously for his faith. The story of James the Less invites us to reflect on the role of secondary characters in the biblical narrative and in church history. While he may not have the prominence of Peter or Paul, James played a crucial role in spreading the gospel. His story reminds us that there are no insignificant roles in the kingdom of God. Every follower of Christ, no matter how seemingly obscure, has a vital part to play in God's mission. Think about it. In the countless lives that James must have touched on his missionary journeys, people whose names we will never know, but whose conversions and transformations were as significant in the eyes of God as those of any prominent figure. The possible martyrdom of James in Syria, Persia, or Egypt also underscores the global reach of the apostolic mission and the personal cost that many were willing to pay to spread the good news of Christ. Simon the Zealot is a figure who commands great admiration for his unwavering faith and dedication to the Christian cause. From the moment he accepted Jesus' call, he demonstrated extraordinary fervor, distinguished by his passion and zeal. Simon was part of a group known as the Zealots, who were ardent defenders of the faith and freedom of the Jewish people. They were known for their radical opposition to Roman rule. And this combative spirit found new direction and purpose in the message of Jesus. When Jesus called Simon to be one of his 12 apostles, he not only accepted the invitation but gave himself completely to the mission of preaching the gospel. After the following Jesus' ascension, Simon continued his journey of faith, traveling to distant lands and facing immense challenges. He ventured into Persia, a region that today includes Iran, where he encountered a hostile reception. The message of love and redemption that Simon brought contrasted sharply with local beliefs, resulting in severe persecution. The hardships Simon faced in Persia were intense. He preached in an environment that not only rejected the Christian message but also saw him as a threat to their religious and social traditions. Simon's courage was tested at every turn, but he never wavered. His determination to share the good news of Jesus Christ was greater than his fear of persecution and suffering. In his travels throughout Persia, Simon encountered Judas Thaddeus, another apostle dedicated to the mission of spreading the gospel. Together they formed a powerful partnership, joining forces to face adversity and continue their missionary work. Judas Thaddeus, known for his courage and dedication, complemented Simon's zeal with his own passion for the Christian faith. The collaboration between the two apostles became an example of friendship and mutual support in times of extreme difficulty. The local authorities, alarmed by the growing influence of the two apostles, decided to take drastic measures to silence them. The preaching of Simon and Jude Thaddeus, which attracted more and more followers, was seen as a threat to the established order. The persecution that followed was brutal. Both were arrested and subjected to unimaginable torture, but they remained steadfast in their faith. The spiritual strength that sustained them was evident to all who saw them, and their resistance became a source of inspiration to the early Christians. The martyrdom of Simon and Jude Thaddeus was an act of extreme cruelty. They were hacked in half, a particularly barbaric method of execution that reflected the hatred and fear that their messages aroused among their oppressors. However, even in the face of death, Simon and Jude Thaddeus did not renounce their faith. Their last words were of praise to God, and their actions until the last moment demonstrated courage beyond measure, beyond human understanding. Judas Thaddeus, also known as Labius, is a figure who inspires great admiration and respect for his unwavering courage and profound faith. From the moment he was called to be one of the 12 apostles, Judas Thaddeus demonstrated extraordinary devotion to the mission of Jesus. His journey as a preacher of the gospel took him to distant and dangerous lands, where he faced unimaginable challenges with a determination that can only be described as superhuman. Judas Thaddeus began his mission in Mesopotamia, a region rich in history and culture, but also filled with religious and social complexities. Mesopotamia, situated between the Tigris and Euphrates rivers, was a center of ancient civilization where many religions and beliefs coexisted. Bringing the message of Jesus to this region required not only courage but also a special ability to communicate and connect with people from different backgrounds. Judas Thaddeus dedicated himself to this task with a fervor that impressed all who encountered him. Judas Thaddeus, preaching in Mesopotamia, was marked by many moments of tension and danger. Local authorities, as well as religious leaders, saw the new Christian faith as a threat to their traditions and power. Even in the face of constant threats, Judas Thaddeus continued to preach enthusiastically, gaining followers and spreading Jesus' message of love and redemption. His ability to connect with people and his infectious passion for the Christian message allowed him to plant seeds of faith in many hearts. After his time in Mesopotamia, Judas Thaddeus turned his efforts to Persia, another challenging region. Persia, known today as Iran, was a land of great religious and cultural diversity. Judas Thaddeus' mission in Persia was equally dangerous and fraught with obstacles. Resistance to the new faith was fierce, and Judas Thaddeus faced intense persecution. However, he never wavered or backed down. His faith was his strength, and he continued to preach with a conviction that inspired all around him. Judas Thaddeus' courage is evident in every step of his journey. He knew that following Jesus and spreading his message would be a great help to him. Meant risking his own life. Yet he was willing to pay that price. His willingness to face danger and suffering in the name of his faith is a powerful testament to his devotion. Judas Thaddeus deeply believed that the message of Jesus was more important than his own safety or comfort. The most tragic and inspiring moment in Judas Thaddeus' life was his martyrdom along with Simon the Zealot. Judas Thaddeus was captured by authorities who feared the growing influence of the Christian faith. They were subjected to brutal torture, but their faith remained unwavering. Judas Thaddeus' martyrdom, being sawn in half, is a symbol of his extreme courage and the brutality faced by the early Christians. Even in the face of a horrible death, Judas Thaddeus did not renounce his faith. His last words were of praise to God, a final testament to his unwavering devotion. Matthias, a man of unwavering faith and profound devotion, was chosen to take Judas' place. Iscariot among the 12 apostles. His selection was not only a significant event in early Christian history but also a testament to his worthiness and commitment to Jesus' mission. Following the betrayal and death of Judas Iscariot, the apostles felt the need to fill the void left behind in order to maintain a complete group. Thus, Matthias was chosen by lot from among the disciples who had been with Jesus from the beginning of his ministry until his ascension, a process described in the book of Acts. From the beginning, Matthias proved to be a dedicated and faithful servant. His inclusion in the inner circle of the apostles was marked by a deep sense of responsibility and a strong determination to continue the work of Jesus. He accepted this call not only with humility but also with a burning passion to preach the gospel and witness to the good news of Christ. Matthias' life, like that of many early Christians, was filled with challenges, but he faced each one with unwavering courage and steadfast faith. Matthias began his ministry in Judea, where he encountered both receptiveness and resistance. He traveled through towns and cities sharing the message of hope and salvation through Christ. Judea, a central region for the Jews, was a place where religious traditions were deeply rooted. Preaching a new faith in the midst of such traditions was no easy task, but Matthias was undaunted. His preaching was powerful and full of conviction, inspiring many to convert to Christianity. However, that same conviction also drew the ire of religious authorities and those who opposed the Christian message. Following his work in Judea, Matthias expanded his mission to Ethiopia, a land rich in history and cultural diversity. Traveling to such a distant and unfamiliar place required not only courage but also enormous trust in divine providence. In Ethiopia, Matthias encountered a variety of cultures and religions, but his approach was always guided by love and respect for others. He sought to understand people and their beliefs, using that understanding to better connect with and convey the message of Christ in relevant and meaningful ways. Matthias' preaching in Ethiopia was marked by many challenges. He faced resistance and persecution, but his spirit never wavered. The message of love, forgiveness, and redemption that he carried was often seen as a threat by local leaders who feared losing their influence and power. Matthias was arrested several times, and each arrest was a test of his faith. He knew that his work was dangerous, but he was willing to pay the price to spread the gospel. His determination and faith inspired many, both in Judea and in Ethiopia. Matthias's ultimate fate was tragic, but also heroic. In one of the many persecutions he faced, Matthias was captured and put on trial for his beliefs. He was accused of blasphemy and disturbing the peace with his preaching. The trial was a farce, and the sentence had already been decided. Matthias would be stoned to death, a brutal and painful method of execution. However, even in the face of this terrible sentence, Matthias remained calm and full of faith. He knew that his life was in God's hands and that his suffering would serve a greater purpose. During the stoning, Matthias was captured and put on trial for his beliefs. He was accused of blasphemy and disturbing the peace with his preaching. The trial was a farce, and the sentence had already been decided. Matthias would be stoned to death, a brutal and painful method of execution. However, even in the face of this terrible sentence, Matthias remained calm and full of faith. He knew that his life was in God's hands and that his suffering would serve a greater purpose. During the stoning, Matthias was stoned to death. He continued to pray and praise God, a testament to his faith until the very end. His resilience and serenity in the face of death impressed even his executioners. After being stoned to death, Matthias was beheaded, a final attempt to silence his voice and message. However, his martyrdom had the opposite effect. Matthias' courage and faith inspired many to follow in his footsteps, and his death became a powerful symbol of Christian sacrifice and devotion. The apostles did not simply preach the message of Jesus, they lived that message to the very end. Their lives and deaths are powerful testimonies to the truth of their faith and the depth of their commitment to Christ. As we learn more about the end of the 12 apostles, we are called to reflect on our own journey of faith, that we might find inspiration in their lives, and strive to live with the same passion and dedication. The legacy of the apostles is an invaluable treasure for all Christians. They showed us that true faith requires sacrifice, courage, and an unwavering commitment to the truth. That their stories continue to illuminate our paths and strengthen our faith.